Brother Casey will start our study in the letters of Peter here in a moment, but before we begin this excursion through these two books, we felt like that we might want to give just a short intro as to what's kind of going to be coming up and things like that. And also, I wanted to take this time and maybe give the speakers and stuff that are coming up maybe a little more idea about how their lessons may be going. I sat down and worked with Casey a little bit the other night, and we found out and that the way these lessons are going to go, you're going to be given these sections of verses, and your verses define what you're going to speak on. And that's really so odd and kind of out of the ordinary for everybody. We usually have a topic and then go to building about this. But given these sections of verses, it kind of tells us, it gives us the outline. And a lot of these studies, to be honest with you, they may come out as more of a Bible study, like sit down across the table Bible study, than a typical sermon, like if I wanted to speak on love. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's kind of the way the breakdown almost demands it. All of these verses and lessons, however, they come from the Word of God. Therefore, there is a gospel message and a message of God involved in all of these. So if you're unsure about how it's going or want some help or anything like that to run a few ideas by, just get with us, the leadership, and we'll be glad to go over that with you. I felt like we probably could have done a little better job of explaining that a few weeks ago, so we'll fall on the sword for that one, or at least I will. Daryl said he wasn't going to fall on the sword. So, but I think everything is really going to work out fine, because one thing that as leadership that we've done with this, there's not one person that's going to be involved with this that we don't have confidence in. We would not set somebody up here and give them a section of verses in order to fail or embarrass them or something like that. Every one of you that are involved in this, you have the capability, and we have the confidence in you that you're going to do justice to the sections of verses that you have and give an edifying lesson. So before we get started, here's a little bit of intro, and I'm going to try to get through this as quick as possible because I don't want to take up all Brother Casey's time. But the two letters that we're going to be going through, 1st and 2nd Peter, were penned approximately around 63-64 A.D., somewhere in there. This would place the time of writing of these letters toward the end of Peter's life. And I think you can see a lot of that with the maturity of the writing. Yes, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, but there's some things and the way you see how he was used that obviously this was toward the end of his life. The first letter that we'll start out with, it's addressed to the saints in what we would refer to as Asia Minor. And the teachings contained in it are focused toward them in some areas, but they're certainly valuable to all of us. The second letter is addressed to the saints in general. Jesus, when Peter started his walk with him as an apostle, and I'm going to read these verses and I'll go through them real quickly here, but in John 1 and verse 40 through 42, it says, "And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." You know, Peter might not have been considered what we would call a rock of a human being, especially at the very beginning. Initially, we think of Peter as being impulsive, even prideful, and having some arrogance in some cases, and having a wavering faith. In Matthew 14, 26 through 31, we have the account where he desired to walk on the water as Jesus was coming toward the boat. And he went out there to walk on the water with him, but he started to sink when he became distracted by the wind and the waves on either side. Jesus replied to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" In Matthew 26, verse 33 through 35, Peter states, "I will die before I deny you, Lord." There's that pride, arrogance, impulsiveness, talking before he thought, maybe we might consider that. And we know how that played out in the end result in Luke chapter 22, verse 54 through 62. Jesus had forewarned him that this was going to happen, and here's what happens. Jesus goes on trial, and Peter denies him three times. And as you read through that account, Luke 22, verses 54 through 62 is one of the gospel accounts on that. That is a heartbreaking and painful event to play out in your mind and read about. But this was not the Peter that penned the two letters that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks and next few months. He was a changed man after the resurrection. He was a changed man after the Holy Spirit baptism on the day of Pentecost. You see, that's not the guy that wrote these two letters. You know, after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, Peter was the one who stood up before the crowd in Acts 2 and verses 14 through 40. He was the one who stood up before the crowd and started preaching to them, the same people who had been consenting to the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Acts 5, verse 3 through 11, Peter was the one who confronted Ananias and Sapphira with such passion and conviction. Not the wavering faith that he had earlier, and we read about in his life. In Acts 5 and 29, Peter was the one that made the statement, "We ought to obey God rather than man," when faced with being imprisoned and faced with the embarrassment of a public beating. Paul refers to him as a pillar of the Jerusalem church in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Very fitting term given to a man that Jesus referred to as a stone, isn't it? You see, as we go through this look and not only look at Peter's life, but these two letters that we're going to be really breaking apart and diving into, one thing should really stand out to all of us. It's very important concerning his life, the writings he has, as well as the life of anybody who becomes a Christian. Who you are before coming to Jesus is not important. The value is how he can change your life and the reward that he offers you if you will obey him. There are a few reoccurring themes that will stand out as we go through these letters. One of them is suffering. He mentions the word suffering quite a number of times in both letters. The church evidently would be facing some pretty harsh persecution during the time that he would be sending this letter out, and he puts a lot of effort into inspiring them to remain faithful in these times by focusing on the goal. And that's good admonition for us as well. He talks a lot about basic Christian life and growth. The church should always focus on living the life to which we are called. We must also be in a constant state of growth. And these letters talk about those things. And there's some other aspect here that really jumps out, especially in the second letter, and that is his warning about false teachers and false doctrine. He warns the church that they would come. He said, soon after, there are going to come false teachers, and they're going to bring this divisive and dangerous doctrine in. Be wary and be on the lookout. We too have to be on the lookout for false doctrine and false teachers. Jesus gave Peter a task shortly before he ascended into heaven. Three times he said to Peter, he said, "Feed my sheep." In John chapter 21 and verses 15 through 17. "Feed my sheep." And he did that through these letters. So as we go through these, let's open up our hearts and our minds, and let's figure out how we can be fed with that spiritual food that the Bible gives to us, directed by the Holy Spirit. I'll turn it over to Brother Casey at this time for his lesson.